normal days, and I'm just going to start out so transparent, this would be one of my very favorite topics to talk about, because joy is just so important to me. It's been one of those things that God has spoken to me personally about as long as I can remember. So important. And today, I don't want to talk about it.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Please come in. We are going to talk about some really important things today. So important that Joyce wants us to all begin with a musical number for
yes,
all of
I
you.
I would sing. Are you ready?
Let's go.
We're ready.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy
of
the
Lord
is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yay!
Since Jay's the only one that can really sing, we thought it would be Jay and the Hummers.
Yeah, I hummed that whole time.
Look, so you did.
Did.
You did good.
Did you hear it?
That's the new band name. Jay and the Hummers.
The Hummers. Sounds
kind of
cool.
I really broke out into song.
And the clappers.
I don't want to be the clapper. Well, we're talking about joy today. And yes, exactly, that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And interesting thing about this, it's something we all need so desperately. And when we talk about it, it's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
You know, we want the joy of the Lord. We want that strength that He gives us. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, so it's promised to us. Mm-hmm. And normal days, and I'm just going to start out so transparent, this would be one of my very favorite topics to talk about, because joy is just so important to me. It's been one of those things that God has spoken to me personally about as long as I can remember. So important. And today, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I just have a lot in my heart and a lot of grief that's been going on and a lot of heartache and things that have been happening in our family as we lost Tim's brother, who we were very close to. And I prayed about it, and I know how important it is to talk about it. I just don't want to do it because today I'm still at that raw stage where I cry really easy.
Yeah.
And I never enjoy that. But the fact is, joy is still there.
Yeah. Right.
And I can talk about that. I just have to get through it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm so glad to have all of you to talk about it, because that's the whole key, is that joy doesn't disappear when life isn't right. So right. I'm going to let you guys get started.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And we're actually going to start with Joyce talking from a teaching about how important joy is in our life, why we get it, why it's necessary, and what it really means. And then we'll come back and we promise no more singing. So stay with us.
This epistle of Philippians is considered to be the epistle of joy. And I've said this in every session, but Paul mentions joy or rejoicing 19 times in the 4 chapters of Philippians. Do you know how important joy is? It's not just a matter of having joy so you can feel good, but joy is like doing warfare with the devil. Everything that the devil tries to do is to bring us down. Down. Down in your mood, down in how you feel, down in your hope and expectations, down, down, down. But everything about Jesus is up. And He wants us to have joy, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy not of circumstances, but of the Lord. Well, circumstances. Wow, if we just had no difficulties due to people in our life that are hard to get along with, or circumstances that are difficult, it would be so easy to be filled with joy. But then the joy we had would not be the joy of the Lord. It would be the joy of good circumstances. But that's not real life. Nobody's going to have everybody love them all the time. You're always going to run into people that are difficult to get along with. And if you're not running into somebody that's difficult to get along with, then you're being hard to get along with and somebody's having to deal with you. I know that's hard to believe, but believe it or not, sometimes you are hard to get along with, just like I am. And so it's not reality to think that all of our circumstances are going to be great. And, you know, I used to just keep wishing that the world would change, if life would just get better, if the world would change. And then finally, I got it. I don't know why it takes us so many years to get it. But God doesn't remove all the hard circumstances or the hard people, but he uses them to change us. How are we going to learn to love everybody if everybody's lovable? There's no trick to that. I mean, that's easy. It's not hard to be good to somebody that's being good to you. But yes, we are asked to do hard things. And when we do the right thing, while we don't want to, we're crucifying the flesh. When you do the right thing, when you don't feel like doing the right thing, that's when you're growing spiritually.
So I am growing. I am crucifying the flesh right now in a big time way. And Joyce has a new book, and it's called Be Joyful, and it's a 50-day journey to help wake up that joy in your life. And it's so good, Joyce. So I so agree with what you're saying. If life was easy all the time, joy wouldn't be so important to us.
Well, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days, knowing we were going to do this show. And I think the first thing that's important for us to understand is you have to make your mind up to be joyful. Because there is something every day they can steal it. Happiness, the world uses the term happy. And the Bible even uses the word happy in the Amplified Bible and the Beatitudes. But happiness is in essence based on what's happening. At least that's the way we usually describe it. Where joy is something much deeper. But further I was thinking about, okay, we talk about this, the joy of the Lord. What is that?
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds nice.
Yeah.
But what is it? Now, Jesus said, he did say that he wanted his joy to be perfected in us. It's in the book of John. But I was thinking about what the joy of the Lord is, and the joy of the Lord is really, no matter how bad you have it, if you'll actually sit down and think about what's yours in Christ, what he's done for you, that's what the joy of the Lord really is.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what kind of circumstance we've got, if you think about it, if you're a believer in Christ, you're not going to go to hell. Your sins can always be forgiven if you're truly repentant. You're made the righteousness of God in Christ. We don't have to dread the future and regret the past. We can live each day fully. I mean, Jesus has done so much for us, and we probably need to think about that more than what we do, actually, what he has really done. So the joy of the Lord is our strength, but it requires some purposeful thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, it would probably even be good for people when they're having a rough time to sit down and write out what all Jesus has done for them.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, that joy comes flooding back in because nobody is as blessed as we are as believers in Christ.
I was looking through your book, and one thing that stood out to me, even just in the table of contents, before I even started reading it, was I was hoping your chapters would be like, if you have 5 glasses of water every day and do this walking, and then you'll be joyful. But all of it is about, it's diving into the Word and finding out who you are in Christ and all these different parts of my relationship with God. That's where my joy comes from. And it's not about doing all these things right like the world tells me to do. It's if I am, the word immerse just kept coming to me. If I immerse myself in all that He is and all He's done for me,
right,
that's where I'm going to get that joy, not what the world has, but the checklist.
You'd think, being a Bible teacher, I would have known that all along, but I never really gave too much thought to actually what the joy of the Lord was. And I like to be practical. And so you can say the joy of the Lord is your strength and everybody claps, but how many really know what that is? And you know, if you just think about the fact that in Christ you're never without hope. How many people in the world are hopeless? They don't have any hope. But hope means to expect that something good is going to happen to you at any moment. So even though Ginger's been through a rough time, you've been through a rough time, you've been through a rough time, we all go through rough times, but Ginger in particular has just been through a situation where a loved one died. And if you just focus on that, and it'll leave you miserable. But if you really think about the fact that He went to heaven. And so really when we grieve for people that we've lost, we're grieving for ourselves, not for them, because they truly are in a better place. But we're the ones that have lost somebody. And I think we all know that real joy comes from right thinking. And we have to choose that on a regular basis.
One of the things, like, I always appreciate your books because, first of all, they make me not feel alone, you know? And it also, it, like you said, you're very, very practical. And that's what I appreciate too. It's like, because my thoughts of joy have always been almost like that external expression of joy, like laughing and smiling and not crying, you know, and not, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I felt and thought joy really was, you know. And then, because that there's like, I don't know if y'all sing this in y'all church, but in that song, "The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength," is like, if you need joy, you can leap for it. Okay, so yeah, so then we'd be like, do y'all laugh to it with it? It's like, ha 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 ha.
Like, it's like wait a minute.
It's like, so then, as it kept going, so I'm like, when I ever felt down, or I did used to feel like, I guess I don't have joy. I guess I need to jump, you know, like, I, and then, or fake laugh, it. Or fake it. Yeah. And I'm like, even, but I, like, in this, the last season, and probably similar, like, to what you're feeling when it's just like, oh, it's heavy. And so what I've learned through this is that making that list that you're talking about, and even if I'm crying because of the reality of what I'm dealing with, I couldn't control the tears. Like,
and it's okay to be sad sometimes. We don't have to go around pretending like nothing hurts and nothing bothers us. I don't even think Jesus did that.
Yeah, he didn't. But that's part of reading the Word, is like understanding that he wept at times and he was sad. He felt like God had forsaken him. Like, you know, like, so it's okay to have those moments. But still, when I would make those lists and like think about those times, like the part of gratitude, that would make me like, I am gonna be okay. You know, like, you've done this.
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, girl.
Well, I was just gonna say, do you know how many verses are in the Bible about thankfulness?
Yeah.
And how they connect to joy.
Because it's when crazy. When I'm sad, I don't automatically naturally go to gratitude.
No.
Like,
it's
I go
place
to
I'd like to go.
Yeah, I go to, why did this happen to me? Or, you know, why didn't you come through in this way? It's more questioning rather than reflecting on what he's already done or the things that I'm super grateful for right now. It's like simple things like being here, the times that we shared.
And that shows you that there's balance in our life.
Yes. Right.
Honestly, the Bible says in John 10:10 that he came so that we can have and enjoy our life. He does want us to laugh and enjoy each other's company and enjoy our good days. And he wants us to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Mm-hmm. So there's so much of that. But he also understands the sorrows that we face as people and how difficult life is sometimes. Yeah. And he's been there too, and he gets that. So like even... for me, the one of the reasons joy has been so important to me is I've for so much of my life just felt that it's a calling, that I am to be one of those people who spread the joy of the Lord. That as a naturally happy person, it doesn't mean I'm always happy by any means, but anything that I do have is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And so on those days that I don't have that same happiness, I still have the joy of the Lord that he has put inside of me and doesn't leave me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, usually when people are having a problem, I think we all tend to do this. We focus on the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to train yourself not to do that. But that's exactly what you need to do when you have a problem and you find yourself focusing on the problem is to change your focus and focus on what Jesus has done for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just really important that we realize how much our thinking has to do with all this. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to joy, I think it's important to note that if you look up the definition of joy, it says it's anything from extreme hilarity to a calm delight. Mm-hmm. And I love that calm delight. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more of a serious-minded person, always have been. I'm not a, you know, that kind of person. And wish I was sometimes, but, you know, you are what you are. I started out having a lot of serious things happen to me as a child when I was being sexually abused by my dad and went through a lot of not-so-nice things. And I just have a deeper, choleric, get-the-job-done personality. But I'm still happy. I'm just probably not as loud about it as somebody else might be.
Like me. So,
yeah.
when I'm happy, I'm loud.
Yeah. So I love that calm delight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A few years ago when we were living in Tulsa, and it was a wilderness season, and it was hard, and Mike was unhappy at his job, so therefore we were all unhappy, and my dad was really sick. It's a miracle he's still alive. And just all these things were happening. And I remember watching myself one day, like, why do you have calm delight? Like, how are you having joy right now? And it was the same kind of realization, like, this is not about me. That is the Lord working even in the midst of something really awful. I know he's here. I know he's got me. So seeing yourself kind of have that strange calm delight when it doesn't make sense was really interesting.
But I think that's important for people to really realize that, you know, joy doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be hilarity. You don't have to be laughing all the time or, you know, rolling around in the floor holding your belly. I mean, you can, I actually prefer a calm delight. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so peaceful and so beautiful. I'm just content.
Yeah.
You know, with whatever.
Yeah. And I realize the older I get, the more I appreciate that, you know? But I'm still loud though. Like,
and that's okay.
I mean, when I laugh from my soul, and then like,
I love it.
And when I smile like this, you know, like, but you know, and even like some of my toughest times these past few years, I just know like a lot of people were like, thought I was happy about the situation until they would hear one of the podcasts. There were times that I didn't even realize I was smiling. Like that had to be God. Mm-hmm. That had to be God. Like, because I was just like, on the inside, but like God will, like I wouldn't know what you were going through, because you literally have blue nails with a smiley face on them.
Like, I did that to help something
happy, you know. So I'm just saying, like, even those little things that you know, like, seem so minimal, that was a choice that you made in a tough time. And that's what you're saying. Like, it's a choice to say, okay, regardless of how I feel, I'm gonna still get to that core of joy mm-hmm. and make a choice.
No matter what kind of problem.
Yeah, have, no matter what.
We are all more blessed mm-hmm. than we have problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've also learned that if you open your eyes really wide, and you don't cry as easily because the tears.
She might look a little crazy.
Why is she looking at me like
that? The tears don't come out. They just kind of slide right back down in.
Your face swallowed your tears.
So I'm not suggesting this for everyone, but I'll tell you.
I just thought you were extra alert today.
I'm looking back at you like, yeah.
But the thing that, like, just letting me have my moment, and especially for all of our friends who are maybe grieving mm-hmm. or maybe are dealing with something right now mm-hmm. that God has not left us in. We don't grieve as those without hope.
Right.
We grieve with the joy, but it hurts and it's really hard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we went through a long time. Our family member, his name was Mark, and he had leukemia. So it was a long path. And of course, we're praying for the best, and you have that hope.
Yeah.
And things are looking good, and then they don't. And everybody understands that up and down.
The roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah. And then a very long, hard road watching him decline and watching his wife and his children suffer and all those people that we love, you know, and it was a long, hard haul. And that's when, yes, everything that we all know, that I know to do in my heart is so true. I know how blessed I am and I know how much I have to be grateful for. But I also have to give my heart a little bit of time to not live in that, because we don't have to live in that, but to feel it. How about that? To feel it. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm so grateful for is how much I've learned, because I've shared many times that anger would be my go-to when I was younger. And I'll tell you, if this had happened to me 25 years ago, I would have been furious that God didn't not do what I wanted, but do what I knew he could do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not there. I'm glad that God has taught me so much through the years of who he is mm-hmm. and how his heart is broken when ours is too. And, you know, I don't have to walk in that anger anymore. But what I have learned is that even in the midst of that great pain and that just really deep hurt and grief, is the joy that I'm finding is the joy in thinking about, like you said, where Mark is now.
And right.
I mean, my mind just wonders at what he must be seeing, you know, what he must be experiencing, and that we will be together again, all of us. But also just the joy in other people who would reach out and check on me every day. Mm-hmm. And people who would just call and cry with me. You know, I mean, it means a lot that God gives us people who mourn with us. Yeah. That's what we're called to do together. And the fact that I would see joy in the most unusual places, even through this incredibly difficult time, mm-hmm. the way that our loved one left an impact on so many lives and the stories that they would share, right. you know, is just... like, God is doing so many amazing things in our lives that we don't realize.
Yeah.
He never realized the impact that he was having on other people. There is so much joy. Joy is so much bigger than we realize. It's not the ha-ha stuff.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's what God gives us that we cannot get anywhere else, by any circumstances, by any fun thing that we do, by any accomplishment that we get. It just comes from who God is in our lives.
One of the amazing Beatitudes is, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's really unique mm-hmm. when you think about it. He says, you're blessed when you mourn, for you shall be comforted.
So it's the a comfort promise.
Of, huh?
It's a promise.
It's a promise. So the comfort of God, I mean, it's almost like he's saying, it's worth mourning just to experience mm-hmm. God's comfort. Mm-hmm. And then, the comfort that he comforts you with you can then use that same experience to go and comfort other people that are hurting.
Yeah.
So God really does work something good out of everything if we'll believe that and let it happen. And, you know, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had a rough time. I mean, he three times he went away and prayed that God would remove the cup from him. So I think it's safe to say he really, really did not want to go to the cross. But he always followed it up with, if possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand when people die. We don't understand when a young person gets sick and dies. But this is where that unquestioning trust comes in, that we just know in part, we don't understand everything, and that I just want to encourage anybody that's watching today that is grieving to ask God to comfort you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he goes about it, but God is the one that can get on the inside of you and make things happen that nobody else can happen.
Sure. Can I share one funny story?
Sure.
Through this whole terrible process, we were sitting around the hospital bed at this time when we were, Mark was on a ventilator and they were going to take him off, and they didn't know what would happen, but they said quite often, and as bad as he was, he would go to be with the Lord right away. Mm-hmm. And when they took the ventilator, took him off the ventilator, he didn't. And we had some wonderful time with him through those last hours that I'm so grateful for that we had. But and he would kind of get bad again, and there would be goodbyes, and then he'd rally again. And then we'd have more time that we'd laugh together. But we were all sitting around at one point, and my nephew, who's so wonderful, but he just said to his dad, he said, "You know, I feel like I've been a little bit deceived because I thought you were going to, you know, go somewhere and you're still here." And we all just laughed so hard because there is even joy in mourning, right. You know, that terrible process of saying goodbye and then having more moments together, but being able to laugh about something like that. It's just, I'm grateful for the way God gives us glimpses of laughter when we don't expect it. So, Joyce, one of the things I want to get so practical about is in the book, you talk about doing three things that you're talking about choosing joy. And I think about that too, that I can only choose it because it was such a gift that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And so not to continue to choose it, it's such a waste of what God did for us. But you talk about three of the things that we can do today to increase our joy, no matter how hard of a time we're going through. And I think they're so great. The one is spending time with God, just knowing who he is. One is spending time in his word, understanding what his word says. And one is spending time with people who help you grow.
Right.
Doing those three things today, why are those so important and how do they benefit us?
Well, you know, we can waste our time, we can spend it foolishly, or we can invest it. And we all get the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. Some live longer than others, but we always say, well, you know, I spend so much time doing this, and I spend so much time doing that. And that's the truth. You're spending your time.
Mm-hmm.
But are you spending it on something that's going to bring a benefit to you or to somebody else? Are you just wasting it, investing it, or wasting it?
Mm-hmm.
So any time that we spend time with God, it's an investment. It's always going to come back to you multiplied many times over. And that's one of the big facets of joy, is just in his presence is fullness of joy. So just being with him brings joy.
Yeah.
And then being in the word. I mean, the word is powerful.
It is.
You know, I love just sitting and just talking about the word like this. I was thinking when you were talking about your brother-in-law's last few hours, I thought how blessed he was to have so many people around him that loved him. You know how many people
yeah.
die and have nobody with them
mm-hmm. yeah.
at all? They're totally
yeah.
alone. And so just to have people who care about you is a blessing. You like you said, you had people that checked on you every day or people that cried with you. And there's so many things we take for granted, but not everybody has that.
Mm-hmm.
And then spending time with the right kind of people. Boy, when you're hurting, you can shoot yourself in the foot or you can help yourself because we can choose who we're around. You know, you may have to be around somebody that annoys you for a certain period of time, but you can get away from them and go get around somebody else
yeah.
that's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
And I want to be around people that are going to add a smile on my face. I love to be with funny people. And I'd say since Dave and I have gotten a little bit older, you know, I said a little bit.
Just a touch.
Both have a little hearing issue now. And we have more fun with that. I mean, we laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Because we have so many things that happen. Like the other day, my daughter, her son's a police officer, and so she went to a program for something called Backstoppers. And it's people who give mm-hmm. to help the widows of fallen officers.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave said, "You went to a conference on backstabbers?"
The backstabbers conference.
The backstabbers.
More about fell on the floor. She's laughing so hard. And so I think we do need to take every opportunity we can to laugh and to be around people that will make us laugh. And the more negative things that seem to happen to you, the more you need to spend in the positive things that the Word of God has to say. And God has just yeah. done so much for us. I mean, it's just like all the stuff I went through as a kid, it's like that was somebody I knew a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it doesn't relate to me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, how can God heal you to the point where you don't even remember it or even thank God for it because of how it made you mature and helped you grow?
That's
good. So when we're going through really horrible times, it's so good to remember, now I can use this
yeah.
to help somebody else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I can make somebody else's life better like mm-hmm. that. When you're blessed when you're mourning
yeah.
because you'll be comforted and yeah. then you can take that same comfort
mm-hmm.
with which God comforts you and comfort somebody else. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a lot of things happen to me in my life, but I've never lost anybody to death that I was really, really, really close to.
Yeah.
So naturally, Ginger could relate to somebody better in a situation like that. She wasn't abused as a child. I was, so I could really relate
mm-hmm.
to that person. We can all relate to anybody that's hurting because yeah. God is in us. But God will use the hard things.
Yeah.
That you go through, and he'll use them to help somebody else.
Yeah, and so
if you let him,
it's clear that you've had times when you weren't happy, because then that are joyful, and because you put so much in here, and it's just so full of scriptures.
Yeah.
that do the work for. You know, I'm not lazy. A little bit I am, but no.
but like, when you get such a good outline,
but here's the thing: like, it's just helpful. It's helpful to have like so. That's why I was looking over here, like, which scripture would I say? But you know, it's just so many scriptures in your books and in this one about joy and about Christ's suffering and about us, you know, like
what he went through.
What he went through, yeah,
nothing compared to what we go
exactly.
through.
So it's just. It's helpful.
And you know, the truth is sometimes when people get in what we'll call a pit for right now, just a pit of misery. And
we just talked about that pit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we did.
Sadness. You don't even really want to read something like this.
No, you don't.
Yeah, be joyful.
You see that be joyful. It's like, I don't even want to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can actually get into enjoying our misery
mm-hmm.
and feeling sorry for ourselves because we're so yeah. miserable. But there are answers for every problem that we have.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the greatest things that we can do is every single day look for, and I have to stress, look for things that you can be thankful for.
Yeah. As a mom of small children, it is easy to let even just like little things during the day steal my joy. And things happen that are just annoying, and kids cry and want things and stuff. And so it's easy as a mom, and I'm sure other moms relate to me, to let those little things steal your joy. But I have tried to be so aware of the fun moments, like you're saying. Like the other day we played charades, and Peyton is ridiculous, and she wanted to be a rainbow, and it was just, it was a, they're just funny. So I found myself laughing hysterically, like you were saying, and I thought, this is what I should do with my children. I need to be so aware of the really fun moments we're having, and some of it's hard, and some of it is discouraging, but in the midst of all of that are some really sweet moments that mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to give you some really, really, really good news.
What?
They will grow up.
Will they? Good. Good. Good news.
And they'll go live somewhere else.
Even better news. Even better news. Just this morning, we had had Caden, who's 7, take a test to see if he could get into a gifted program. It was recommended by his teacher. Well, I got the results today that he didn't make it. And he's been asking for weeks, like, did I get it? Do I get to go? Do I get to go? And so I had to tell him this morning, no, you don't. And this is our first rejection. He's 7. He's never been rejected from anything. And so to tell him, this will make me cry, Daddy and I are proud of you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. And to see his face process that and then go back to, okay, well, let's go to school and see my friends. I want to be like that.
Yeah.
He sat in his pain for a second, yeah. And then he remembered all the other great things he gets to do today.
Yeah. And it's the parenting piece is like sometimes it's hard. It's harder for me to remain joyful when I see my kid hurting.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
the worst. Than me.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Like I just get because I feel helpless. I feel mm-hmm. like I don't know what to do to help her. Yeah. You know, and especially now with mine, she'll be 19 soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so. And at that age where she's technically an adult, but she's still a kid. And
yeah, who made up that age?
Yeah,
anyway?
I don't like
it. How'd that happen?
That's 18, 19, that's hard because it's like still a kid, but you want to respect them sure. as an adult to
right,
an extent
yeah.
and in the house, but not really in the house. And now she's in 2 different spaces and 2 different states when she goes to us. It's like, it's hard, and so the hardest thing has been to remain joyful about my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's not, I don't get to see her do rainbows. I don't get to, you know, and giving her the space she needs to be an adult and make her own decisions on where she wants to live and if she wants to go to college or not or what she wants to do with her life. It's like, ooh, when you're used to making those decisions, like it's, and not being able to see that resolve of that happy, because mm-hmm. she's processing. That's hard. And so mm-hmm. I need that because it's hard. Like, I find myself being at times more sad about my kid. Like, it makes me emotional. Like, I feel I'm more sad about my kid being sad than even myself.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's hard. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I need that more for her.
Any parent, yeah. You'd rather be sick yourself than to see your kid be sick.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when I used to have to punish my kids, I would have much rather punished myself.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take something away from them.
But. And our joy as a parent does not come from being a perfect parent or having perfect children.
Yeah.
You know, our joy comes in the potential that God has put in them and what he can do in their life and what he's doing in our life through them. I learned so much through my kids and even through some of the really hard times that I wouldn't have wanted to happen the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I learned so much, and God was always in the midst of those times. And like you're saying, they can be really hard, trying times as a mom.
Yeah.
But now looking back, and even, you know, with the joy of having grandchildren now, you do see the way God was working that you didn't always see in the midst of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I see like, oh, God was putting that in her then.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is how he's using it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things like that amaze me. And I'm so grateful for that God brings joy up in those things. Like, I love the book of James, but I do not like the scripture that says, count it all joy. You know,
it's
like, count it all joy, my brothers. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is it hard to count it joy when you're in the middle of growing.
The Amplified Bible
that steadfastness.
Says count it joy because
your trials bring out patience. And yeah. I said, they brought a lot of things out of me before we ever got around to patience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like what?
It took us a while to get there.
So, you know, when you hear Count It All Joy, you're just like, I don't think so. I don't always think so.
But here again, I really feel it's good to say that joy is not some kind of
right.
It can be that just contentment, that quiet contentment. And we talk about kids. It's so important for parents to know that, I mean, Ginger's had this experience I have, but I have four grown children. And I tell you, when they were not grown and I was raising them, sometimes I didn't even hardly have a thimble full of hope for each one of them. I mean, I had kids that it was just like, I was so happy when they got out of school, I could hardly stand it. And now, our one boy that just hated school so bad and had such a hard time in school, he now is the CEO of all the operations side of the ministry and over all the media. And my other son that, oh my gosh, we could not get along. I mean, we just had such a hard time getting along. And he's the CEO of all of our missions out works, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of things going on around the world, and he's been involved in starting every single one of them. And my one daughter, who couldn't find her socks if she took them off, I mean, she was so sloppy. And now she takes care of me. And so they will come around, and that's what you need to remember when you're going through those tough times. It's not over till it's over, and it's not over yet.
One more thing just to bring up as we're closing, because I thought this was such a great suggestion in the book. You talked about one of the great ways to bring up that joy in our lives and to help maintain it. Because I believe, and I know you do too, we have to fight for our joy.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, God gives it to us as a gift, but we have to cultivate it.
And the devil does not want you to have it.
No, he does not. So one of the things that you suggest is to simplify, to keep things from getting overcomplicated and overwhelming. Right. Any ways that you guys do that or why you see that is so important?
I think sometimes, for me, just the way I think about things can either be complicated or it can be simple. How simple is it to say, I believe God will take care of this?
Yeah.
Than to get all negative and try to figure it out yourself and go tell 25 people how horrible things are for you. Mm-hmm. It's just so simple to say, I believe that God will take care of this. I don't know what he's going to do or when he's going to do it, but I trust just makes everything so simple.
Yeah.
Just trusting God. And whether it's the situation you've come through or what I went through as a child or what any of us have gone through, it all comes back to, are you going to trust God or are you not going to trust God? And I want to add to all this before we close. I believe that one of the greatest ways that you can increase joy in your own life is to bring joy to someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
The more, if you can make somebody else happy every day, you will find yourself very seldom being unhappy yourself.
Yeah, that's good. One of my simple ways is now understanding that what you said earlier, Joyce, you said like you can either basically waste whatever you're going through, or you can use it to help others. And this has actually helped me push out of that too. I've always been a person that was like, this isn't just for me. Whatever I've gone through in all of my life, I'm like, it's not just for me. But this was probably the hardest thing, like going through that divorce was like one of the hardest things that I've ever gone through in my adult life. And sharing it with other people and help, you know, asking God, I don't get this. Being so honest and transparent, even when I didn't really believe that I could be joyful. I didn't know that God was working it out. Just being honest with the people that I love and that love me and would push me towards God, like just being honest. Mm-hmm. And then also saying, God, you're not going to waste this. Like, even right. in my moments of like unbelief, you know, like you're not going to waste it. And I know you're going to bring me back full circle. Yeah. And just that authentic place, not trying to overthink it or fake it. Or over Christianize it, you know, like, and just be authentic, because I was a robot before.
Because God really does care about everything we go through.
Yeah.
And he will, especially if you ask him, he will use everything.
Yeah.
That you go through, things that you couldn't even imagine how he could use it for anybody's good. He'll take it and use it. And I actually really believe that God does work all things out for good.
To
those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Absolutely.
And I don't always understand how he does it, but I do believe that he does it.
Mm-hmm. It is a decision. And the reason I didn't want to talk about this topic today is not because I don't feel that joy in a way that doesn't make sense sometimes. It's because I didn't want to be emotional through it. I want to be vulnerable and I want to be myself, but I want to have words that make sense. And sometimes that is difficult. But sometimes this is the face of joy, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes those tears are in the in the midst.
And it's good for other people.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't have to be giggling and laughing out loud all the time. I think even in the midst of those tears, you can have that calm delight where, you know, this hurts. Mm-hmm. But I know that you'll comfort me and that you'll take it and work good out of it.
Yeah. Well, Joyce's new book, it's really pretty, too.
Isn't it pretty? I think it's a pretty book.
It's called Be Joyful. Give yourself 50 days. Just see what it does for you. Dig into this. Give 50 days that you just open up this book. Read through what God's Word says and see what happens in your life, because I really do believe that that joy will start bubbling up inside of you. You can go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout to pick up that book. You can see our other episodes also. Don't forget to subscribe. Tell your friends about it. And we just love having you here with us. So whatever it is that you're going through right now, my friend, if your heart is breaking or if you're just at one of the happiest places you've ever been in your life, just remember that wherever we are, that love that Jesus has given us, what he's done for us, is steadfast. It's always the same. It doesn't go up and down with our emotions. It's consistent, and it is there for you today. Whatever you're facing, that's the joy that we're talking about. It's readily available for you right now. We love you so much. Thank you all, my friends. I appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout is a wonderful place. Go there for today's resource to check out all of the episodes and to get to know us a little better. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. And let us know what you're thinking. Your voice is important to us.